very pleasant good day, everyone. This is your host, Mike Worf, with another presentation, Kaleidoscope. Life in the novels of Leo Tolstoy is the most copious in all literature. In it are war and peace, love and adventure, birth and death. A kaleidoscope of memorable scenes. In Tolstoy, one can find a vanished Russia with its brilliant imperial court, its balls and duels and dashing officers, its landed nobility, its hard-riding Cossacks and clod-like serfs, its vast snowy battlefields and its nights of restless gambling and carousing with the gypsies. The throngs of characters are closer to our hearts and minds than those walking the streets of Russia today. What we are about to talk of is a life as Tolstoy lived it himself, the life that he recorded with an understanding that only his great Christian love could explain. The tumultuous, tormented life of one of the great writers of all time. On Kaleidoscope, we turn to the wars and peace of Leo Tolstoy.
Снегу выпадала, кобелу свету дорожка в полюшке пропадала.
There was no hint of genius in Leo Tolstoy's early years. He was born in the year of 1828 at Yasnaya Polyana, the vast estate of his father, Count Tolstoy, which was located about 130 miles south of Moscow. His mother, the Princess Maria Volkonsky, brought her husband a fortune and her children some of the proudest blood of Russian aristocracy. According to the young man's own diaries, he idled and wenched and gambled. No one could have guessed that then, outgrowing one phase of his life after another, this strange, striving writer was to become at last a holy man, not only to Christians, but to those of other religions, as well as to many still seeking faith in Europe, Asia, and America.
Mm-hmm.
His war with self was endless, and peace eluded him to the very end of his life. Planning on a career of diplomacy, he attended Kazan University to study Oriental languages. But he who spoke and wrote French as fluently as Russian, who mastered classic Greek in 3 months and picked up German, Italian, and English with ease, was bored with the slow, formal method of university instruction. And so he turned to the study of jurisprudence. Of this, too, he made a failure, for he regarded law as dull and as unrelated to moral justice. Driven from Moscow by gambling debts, young Leo joined a regiment on the frontier, fighting the Tatar guerrillas. The wild nature of that place, the snowy peaks and dry, high air, filled him with an exhilaration we can almost breathe in his marvelous story, The Cossacks. This was not written until 50 years later, and nothing so proves that Tolstoy not only absorbed every impression, but kept it living and brilliant as long as breath was in him. When the Crimean War broke out in 1853, the danger-loving young officer got himself transferred to the battlefront. His Sevastopol stories reveal both the tragic heroism of the Russian troops and the heartless stupidity of the high brass. So it was, as an established writer, that after 4.5 years of army life, he returned at the age of 27 to what he thought would be a world of pleasure. But on this wasted nothing, and nothing from the wastrel had come. All he knew and felt as a soldier is to be found in war and peace. Yet however brilliant the crowds he moved among, Leo Tolstoy still found himself in solitude, though many were drawn by the falcon gaze and the sensuous mouth. He traveled in France, throughout Switzerland, and then to Germany. A true beauty lay for him forever in his native land, where the vast steppes could lift his heart more than the Alps. Best of all, he loved Yasnaya Polyana, of which he was now master. But this young Count Tolstoy was a new kind of landlord. He felt humble before the devout and ignorant peasantry. He started a school for the illiterate children and set about freeing his serfs, philanthropies which they regarded with suspicion. His idealism, his ambition, his loneliness, and his mercurial moods worked like a ferment within him. More and more, he went to visit the family of a court physician, made particularly attractive by 3 daughters. This lively, hospitable household Tolstoy made his own. It lives forever as the Rostov family in war and peace. When one day Tolstoy pressed a letter of proposal into the hand of Sonya, the second and most beautiful of the daughters, she accepted him at once. He was 34, with a past crowded with women. His fiancée was an innocent 18 years of age. Tolstoy, torn as ever with self-doubts, felt that he had no right to marry her without confessing his former sins, and put in her hands the diaries that detailed every one of them. Valiantly, the shocked young girl renewed her pledge, and the two were united to begin a life of devotion and mutual torment, which was to last 48 years. Sonya was practical. He, Tolstoy, a magnificent dreamer. She loved the gaiety of city life, and at first loathed the rustic home where he was happiest. The vices he had so virtuously revealed inflamed her jealousy. Yet not only was she to bear him 13 children and to shoulder the management of his affairs, but she willingly copied out, by hand, the immense corrected manuscript War and Peace. She did it not once, but seven times. The epic of Napoleon's war upon Russia in 1812, and how it washed like a tidal wave over all the individual characters of the story, some 500 of them. The battle scenes, cycloramic in scale, with cavalry charges, slaughter, and heroism. The burning of Moscow, the retreat of the French army through the pitiless snows, all are told with a sweep never equaled before. And the personal stories intermingle with a national drama, and they move us with deep sympathy. For Tolstoy could penetrate into the souls of others as though they were clear glass. Of the enchanting heroine, Natasha, Tolstoy's young sister-in-law, Tanya, said wondering, "I can see how you are able to describe landowners, fathers, generals, soldiers, but how can you get into the heart of a girl in love? That I cannot understand." This giant novel, which took 7 years to write, was an immediate success. It is today enjoyed in translation all over the civilized world. But Leo Tolstoy, throughout his career, felt that to take pleasure in praise was another form of sin. It was in enjoyment of the simple life of Yasnaya Polyana that he let himself go, in the games with his children, in riding and hunting, in a family circle around the table, the winter dusk, the fireplace, in the springtime, greening of birch trees, in the golden reaping of the harvest. Here he had his roots, and the next flowering that sprang from them was another mighty novel, an absorbing contrast between married love amid country life and adulterous passion in fashionable society. Beyond even his gift for fiction, however, was Tolstoy's moral power. Every failure in his behavior caused him an agony of conscience, and over other men's troubles he suffered even more. Under the Tsars, as now, Russia was the most despotic country in Europe. Yet again and again, this now famous writer risked punishment to fight for the freedom of others. He battled for liberty of speech, believing that political crimes, criticisms of rulers of states, were signs of health in the people. In vain did the censors ban his plays, his stories, and tracts proclaiming such ideas. These were printed in other languages all over Europe, and thousands of Russians copied out the translations by hand and circulated them secretly. Tolstoy urged a single tax, a tax on land only, as propounded by the American Henry George. In Russia, where vast land holdings were the basis of the nobility's wealth, the single tax would have forced the noblemen to break up their estates and distribute the land to the peasants. The suggestion was met with angry horror by the Tsar and government, and even Tolstoy's own ruling class. In his fervent search for religious truth, Leo Tolstoy had for a time turned to the Russian Orthodox Church. But blazing candles, glittering mosaics, and the burning of incense did not, he found, in themselves make a Christian. He dared to declare that many of the priests hid behind their dignity and ritual in dark ignorance. The kingdom of God is within you, he cried. So now he had the church down on him too. In time, Tolstoy came to base his faith only on the words of Christ. Resist not evil, says the Sermon on the Mount. That, to Tolstoy, meant that every form of violence, any sort of armed might, is contrary to the teachings of Christ. Now the army was furious with this one-time gallant soldier, the only thing that saved Tolstoy from the united wrath of Tsar, church, and army, was the tremendous influence of his writings, now spreading throughout the world. The powers did not dare make a martyr of the best-known Russian of his age. On Kaleidoscope, our presentation, The Wars and Peace, of writer Leo Tolstoy. Visitors flocked from many lands to meet this white-haired, deep-eyed visionary. His correspondents were numerous, among them a young man from India named Gandhi. From Christ through Tolstoy, the future holy man of India learned much about the force of passive resistance. And like the Mahatma, Tolstoy ventured to initiate reform at the village level. In his school for peasant children, he outdid the most progressive theories of education. If a pupil was absorbed in a project of his own, he need not heed the classwork. If a youngster wanted to run outdoors to stretch his legs, he was allowed to. Tolstoy junked the current Russian and European textbooks as tedious and obsolete. He preferred those he got from the United States. All of this learning deeply offended the administrators of public instruction, and they closed the schools. Resisting not evil, Tolstoy gave in without a struggle. He knew that the truth would prevail, if not in his lifetime, then at a later date. Such a literal follower of Christian ethics as Tolstoy must disregard comfort, expedience, health and wealth. And this is hard on those who love him and live with him. The more spiritual he grew, the more practical Sonia had to be. She it was who had to see to that her sons were properly educated, launch her daughters in Moscow society, handle her husband's business affairs. Meanwhile, Tolstoy himself tramped the wide versts of his beloved Yasnaya Polyana, looking like a peasant himself in his old smock and with his prophet's beard, living in a world of the spirit, living in the world of nature. In his complicated search for simplicity, the old man became convinced that the possession of property was inconsistent with his beliefs. He divided his estates among his family and turned a large part of his profitable copyrights into public domain. To earn a living, he bent his snowy head over a cobbler's bench and made shoes. Sonia wept and upbraided him. The situation between the two became intolerable. At last, to escape his wife, Tolstoy stole away in the dead of winter, accompanied by his physician. Soon, his daughter Alexandra joined them. The journey on the slow, cold train had not progressed far when Tolstoy contracted a sudden pneumonia. He was taken off the train and lodged in the station master's home. Sonia came hastening, but lest she upset the sick man, she was kept outside his room. Only when coma overtook him was she admitted to pour into his deaf ears her love and to kiss his unconscious hand. It was too late now for these two, yet passionately and separated but devoted people, to come to an understanding for which they had struggled all their long life. Tolstoy's last words are a key to his escaping spirit. The truth, he said at the very end, and then like testimony given at the highest tribunal of all, the truth is, I love many. And so on November 7th, 1910, word flashed round the world that this tumultuous, gifted soul had been released from the flesh against which he had so battled. Leo Tolstoy was buried, as he had wished, in the woods of Yasnaya Polyana. No religious ceremony was performed over the man who had dared, however faultily, to attempt a life in imitation of Christ. Later, propagandists tried to make him a hero of the communist revolution that he never lived to see. But he who had preached nonviolence probably would have hated the present-day state of affairs in his country and in the world. For Leo Tolstoy belongs instead to all who live by his rule of love and who love, together with humanity, the great literature which portrays it. The man, the tumultuous, tormented life of one of the great spirits of our time. Narrated on today's program, The Wars and Peace of Leo Tolstoy. This is your host, Mike Worf, thanking you for joining us and extending to you an invitation to be with me again tomorrow at this same hour, for another Capital Cities Communications presentation of Kaleidoscope.